Forward to that. I love the book of Hebrews. It helped to connect the Old Testament with the New Testament for me as a young Christian, and I pray that it will do the same for you. Also help you in instructing us on each one of us on how to walk our faith, walk in this new faith that we have. And so Jesus is our only anchor. Do you guys know that? He's the only one that can hold us true. He's the only one that can hold us still. Have you guys ever had storms in your life? Have you ever been through a storm? Are you going through a storm now? You don't have to nod, but yeah, I mean, we all do. We're either coming out of a storm, or we're maybe getting ready for a storm, or we're in a storm, right? But it's going to happen. We already know that. And I want you to know how to make sure that you don't just get blown away in these storms. You know, we have an anchor, and our anchor stays true all the time, and he never moves. And so we're blessed to know that Jesus is that anchor. And we're all sinners. We all deserve punishment. We all deserve to be in hell. It's either heaven or hell, guys. There's nothing in between. That's where we're going to spend eternity. We all will have, quote, you know, life eternal, but it just depends on where you're going to spend it. And what we want is eternal life with Christ. We want to be with Jesus. And so we're going to talk about that just a little bit today, because this scripture really, really speaks into that powerfully. And so let's have a word of prayer, and then we're just going to jump right on into Hebrews 2, just a couple verses at a time. Dear Father, I pray that you would bless us as we look at your word today. Thank you, Lord, for the writer of Hebrews that was inspired by the Holy Spirit and brought this to us so that we can apply it to our lives today. And Lord, there's so many awesome connections, and we learned just last week how Jesus is greater than the voice of angels. Whenever he came, he spoke, he told us all these truths, and really this whole Bible is his word, because he's the word who became flesh and dwelt among us. And it's so awesome whenever we think about that. We know that he's greater than the prophets as well. He's better than any of the prophets that came before. And Lord, his word speaks a better word into our lives, and help us to follow you. And so Lord, as we read today, we're going to find out that he's our anchor. He's the one who keeps us where we need to stay, so that we can be with you forever, and so that our life doesn't just become a shipwreck. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just bless us today as we read your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's look there in Hebrews chapter 2. I'll give you a second to get open to that, and if you have your Bible, if not, you can follow along. All the scriptures from Hebrews 2 in this chapter we'll be going through in our notes that are in your bulletin as well. But let's just start out by the idea that once you have sinned, how many of us are sinners? Go ahead and raise your hand on this one. We all are sinners, right? The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What we understand is, like, we're born into sin, right? Whenever you take a mom who's a sinner and a dad who's a sinner, and you bring them together, and you bring a child through two sinners, what are you going to get? You're going to end up with a sinner. And it helps us to understand why Jesus came in a very special way in the incarnation. He came through the virgin birth, right? He's the only one that ever lived a perfect life. Can we all say amen to that? And that's very important, because that means he's the only one who didn't have to die for his own sin so he could die for ours. And so it's this huge foundational truth to the gospel, and that's the good news, that he did come. He was willing to die for us so that we could have eternal life. But here's the thing, once you've sinned, and we've all agreed we're all sinners, all you have to do to end up in hell is nothing. You just do nothing after you've sinned, and you know where you're going to end up? You try to stay in the middle, you try to stay neutral, you try to not make a decision about whether or not you're going to follow Christ. Not making a decision is making a decision. It's making a decision that you're going to stick with the status quo. And you know what? Status quo is going to end you up in hell unless something changes. And the only thing that can save us from that, obviously, is to receive the free gift that Jesus is offering us. And whenever he confirms that in our heart, he explains it to us in a way that we can clearly understand it. We have to accept him. We have to accept him as our Lord and Savior. We have to move in that direction. But you know what? This scripture here in verses 1 and 2 talks about this, and it talks about even our walk with Christ. It says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. You know, if we just do nothing, then you're gonna drift away. What happens in a storm? We were talking about storms of life. What happens to a boat that's not anchored or tied or moored to somewhere really, really stationary during a storm? What's going to happen? Boats try to get, you know, to a place that's safe where they can weather storms when they know storms are coming. And if they don't, they just blow away. How about, let's take our little river, for instance. If you get in that river and you do nothing, where are you going to end up? You're going to end up going with the flow, right, of the river. We had a little tribulation in our family one time. We took a family swimming trip over to Washington State Park, and a whole bunch of our kids, you know, were all out there having a good time. And some of us took a little trip downriver in a boat, and whenever we came back up, we saw one of our kids floating around the corner. And I'm like, I'm wondering, like, what gives? I mean, they've slipped away. Well, it turned out the water was a little more swift in that one area than what we thought. And we found out what happens if you get in swift water. It starts to wash you away. It turned out he wasn't the only one that was washed away. There were several. One was hanging on to a bush, and the other one was swimming to try to get him. It can be treacherous. And if we don't do anything, you know which way you're going to go? You're going to go with the flow. Well, what's the flow of the world right now? And has been all along. Jesus said that wide is that way. Broad is that path that leads to destruction, and many find it. Narrow is the way that leads to salvation, to heaven, and few find it. You know, as God reveals to us, then we have to respond, and we need to connect ourselves to that anchor. He goes on to say in verse 2, for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, it's going to get to the next thought in that, but before we do, I want to look at that word, that phrase, drift away, because I think it's pretty important for us to kind of understand what the Bible's saying by that. It's like flow beside, it's like to flow by or past. You see, you missed your stopping point, right? To drift away, to slip away. You know, God has a purpose for our lives, and we don't want to slip away from that. I want to stay anchored to Christ clearly and steadfastly so that then I can have everything that he's created me for. And here's the thing. Now, it got into that thought there in verse 2 about every transgression, disobedience received a just reward, and that was spoken through who? Through angels. Let me tell you something. This is proven truth, folks. This word of God is proven truth. We need to believe the word of God. We need to believe what Jesus has told us. It goes on in verse 3. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? He's saying it's the only way. Jesus is the only way. If we neglect that, where else are we going to go to find it? The world's proposing all these different options, but I just want you to know that our Savior is the only one that has an empty tomb, folks. All these other ways and all these other ideas that are out there and all these other ways that they follow. Hey, I have been to Sri Lanka, which is one of the places where they take pilgrimages in Buddhism. Do you know they travel? It's the most visited area for Buddhism in the world as a holy place because there's a tooth there they believe to be Buddha's tooth. And people come from all over the world. I met many on the airliner on the way and on the way back telling me what a wonderful experience it was to see that tooth. Well, I'm going to tell you a better experience. You go try to find the tomb of Jesus and it's empty. We serve a risen Savior, a living Savior, the one who has gone back to heaven, who is still alive, and he is making intercession for us. That's our Savior. And he's the only one who can truly save us. Those other ways are just counterfeits. So if we neglect such a great salvation, there's no other hope, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both to the signs and wonders with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. You see, again, guys, I just want to hit this again. It's proven truth. Proven truth. I hear so many people saying, well, you can't prove it. God already has. I don't have to. You see, he's proven it through speaking it through his prophets, and then it came to be. On the next slide, you'll see there's several different ways that God's proven it along the way. He's proven it through his prophets. He's proven it. You know, we are still seeing prophecies that are coming true and being fulfilled. Isn't that amazing? There are still some yet to happen. We're looking forward to them because all the other ones happened just as the prophets said, because God spoke through them. He also spoke by angels. He's spoken through by Jesus. He's spoken by apostles, those who saw Jesus, heard from Jesus personally. We are still reading that today. In this word, how amazing it is that we have eyewitness testimonies of what happened. And then also, guys, if you doubt all that and you're not 100% sure if it's all 100% accurate, just look at the miracles. God has proven it by his miracles. Just look at a changed life of somebody who has accepted Jesus. I'm one of those lives. You know, I talked about how none of us really feel all that comfortable being. I hate being in front of people. I used to be like a hermit. I didn't even want to go out in public very much. And usually when I did, I said things and stuck my foot in my mouth and had problems with people while I was out and all these different things. It just becomes complicated. But you see, God has called me to this. God called me out of this life that was all about me and sin and protecting myself. And he said, first of all, rise up. Eternal life. I'm saved. I have a new heart. I have the Holy Spirit living in me. My two oldest children said it wasn't hard for them to really accept the Lord because they saw what God did in my life. I went from being a very angry, volatile person to God beginning to cultivate in me a much more understanding spirit, a gentler spirit. It's still a work in progress. We all are. But here's the thing, guys. Look at the changed lives. And it's not just one. They're all over the world. And people's testimonies that, hey, some grew up in church, got saved early, and served the Lord their whole life. Other testimonies, they got off track, but God brought them back. They're all testimonies of miracles. You say, I want to see a miracle. How about all the people that have been healed? We've seen many. Have you been healed? Has people prayed for you before? I have. And I know we can always say, well, but there was that one time. You know, God's going to do his will too, guys. And if it's his will to heal, then he heals as we pray. If it's his will to take a person home to heaven, he does that too. That's still his will, and it's still a miracle. God is awesome. And it's all proven truth because he's proven it through all these different ways. And as Christ is higher than the angels, so shall we be in heaven through him. I like that. You know, it actually speaks in the scripture about how we're going to judge angels in the realm to come. And so I think that it's important for us to understand that only happens through Christ. And that's what Hebrews 2, 5 through 6 is kind of pointing toward. It says, for he has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels, but one testified in a certain place saying, what is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? He goes on to say, you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not see all things put under him. You see, even Jesus became like us so that we can be like him. It goes on in this flow and this thought in Hebrews in verses 9 and 10. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. That was us. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. What does that mean, that it made Jesus perfect? He was already perfect morally, right? This means complete in what he came to do. You see, he came so that he could suffer, so he could feel our pain, so that he could actually complete that work, in that the one who was perfect suffered, and it perfected the work that he started so you and I could be saved. And once we are saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us, and just as he is higher than the angels, he didn't come to save the angels. Did you notice that? He came to save us. And when we receive salvation, we receive something the angels couldn't even receive. And it puts us in a place that is going to be in cooperation with him in the days to come. You know, Jesus is coming back. You guys sounded mildly excited about that. You know, Jesus is coming back. And he's going to set everything straight. We look like, you know, to us, everything looks like it's falling apart right now, but I can tell you it's falling into place in his economy. You know, Jesus could be coming back today. Let's just make sure we're living for him, whether it's today, tomorrow, or whenever. Let's live like it's going to be today. You know, he has this plan, and what's so amazing, have you noticed how insignificant you feel when you look at how big the plan is? I mean, does anybody else experience that? From time to time, I think of why. Why does he care about me? Because I'm so small. I feel, you know, I understand that I'm very insignificant in this. And then I realize that Jesus is not afraid to identify with me. Isn't that an amazing thought? I mean, does that amaze you? Does it shock you? Are you blessed by it? Does it make you, like all of a sudden feel significant? I can tell you, he didn't do that for me because I deserved it. He didn't do it for you because you deserve it. He does it because he loves us and because he's awesome. Because he has a great plan, and in the end, it's going to glorify him. You see, Jesus is not afraid to identify with his people. When we look at verses 11 through 13, for both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I in the children whom God has given me. That's Jesus speaking of the Father delivering his children to him. You know, while he was on earth, he didn't have a wife and children, Jesus. I know there was some mythological book that came out some time ago. It was surmising that apparently, you know, maybe he had offspring here. Guys, he didn't need to have offspring in that way, because he was gaining offspring in this way. You are God's children through Christ. Isn't that amazing? He has a posterity that is huge, but it wasn't gained in the earthly way, in the fleshly way. It was gained in the spiritual way by him going first to make the way for us. You see, he's our anchor. Once we connect to him, guys, nothing should move us. Right? I don't know if you noticed, but like, you know, I know there was some kind of shaking of things during COVID-19 and different things, and everybody's wondering what all. But, you know, you notice that the people that were anchored fully to Jesus, they weren't shaken very far. It was like, whether he takes me now or he takes me later, I know where I'm going. Amen. So like, we could be anchored to the one who doesn't move. Nothing surprises him either, by the way. I hope you guys already knew that. He's never surprised by anything. He's sovereign. He's omnipotent. That means he's all strong. He's all strength. He's omnipresent. That means he's here. He's everywhere with us. And he's omniscient. He already knows everything. And so I want you to take heart to know that once you have moored yourself to Christ, don't you neglect such a great salvation, guys, because it's the only one. Get yourself anchored to Christ, and no matter what happens, you don't have to be moved. Even when you face your final breath, and we all will someday unless Jesus comes back first. Do I get an amen to that? You don't even have to be moved then. You can just know that the next moment you'll be before the one that you've spent your life worshiping and living for. That's awesome. He's the one that never moves. He's that anchor. You see, Jesus in the flesh destroyed the power of death, devil, and the fear of death. Oh man, that's huge. You know what most people in this world are really being like kind of prodded along by is that fear of death. How much energy and time do you think is put into trying not to die? You know, when you really think about it, there's a huge amount. Time, energy. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think we should be careless with our life. There are some things that can help us, you know, to be healthy while we're here. But I think the number one thing that you can do is consider the poor by making sure that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. The Bible says so. That's the greatest health care plan there is. Get anchored to Jesus and then care about what he cares about. What does he care about? He said, whatever you do for the least of these, even so you've done it unto me. So I think as we do that, and poor comes in many shapes and sizes. Some of the poorest people I've seen in my lifetime actually have a lot of money. They're poor in spirit. So I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail, but what I want to say is, guys, he has destroyed death. So why are we afraid of it? He's destroyed the power of the devil. So don't be afraid of him either. Don't take flippantly. Don't toy around with. Don't be irreverent toward. Guys, the only one that we need to have a proper fear of is God himself. A proper respect and anchor ourselves to him, and then we don't even have to fear death. You see, he says he knows the number of our days even before we live the first one. If we just stay in the center of his will, he's got it for us. We don't have to be shaken by all these things that shake the world. In Hebrews 2, 14 through 16, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Praise the Lord! The one who kills to come, steal, and destroy, he has no power over Jesus or his children. You know, the Bible later on in the book of James tells us to submit to God, resist the devil, and you know what the devil has to do? Flee from us. If the devil just keeps hanging around, then we must not be submitting to God and we must not be resisting him, because God in his word says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so let's do that. We may have to do it continually in a day because he'll keep coming back and trying. But you know what? We don't have to take his bait, because Jesus defeated the power of the devil when he died on that cross, and he proved it when he rose again. Verse 15, and released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. That is his children of faith. Are you a seed of Abraham? Did you ever sing that song? Father Abraham had many sons. So let's just praise the Lord. Okay, right hand. We can go through them all. Guys, it's all right. You know, really, it's not any more complicated than that. We are children through the faith that Abraham once displayed. We come through the same faith. Thanks for not leaving me hanging on that one. You guys did awesome. You know what? He gives us something through, you know, being the seed of Abraham that he doesn't even offer to the angels. Does that make you feel glad? Does that not make you feel special in God's eyes? That is awesome. And so, you know what? You don't have to live in the bondage of the fear of death anymore. You can be free from that. Make sure you're hooked up to him as your anchor, because he doesn't move. Only Jesus could be the propitiation for sin, being the only sinless man to experience temptation. That's a word we don't use very often. It's a biblical word. We've seen it a couple times in the Bible, and this is one of them, and 1 John is another place. But what it means is like paid in full to satisfy a deity. Okay? That's its most common usage. And so even people who were pagans, we're constantly trying to give these offerings to pay for any of their wrongdoing, or when they felt like they were being judged by a deity, or maybe judgment had come down on their people. They did all kinds of awful things trying to pay for this. I'm not even going to get into the awful things that have been done throughout history to try to satisfy these demonic deities. I will say, killing their children was usually one of them. Like human sacrifices, one after another, after another, after another. Guys, it never paid for anything. It was just a bloodlust that the enemy had, but his power has been destroyed because Jesus was a propitiation, that one-time payment, that one that satisfied everything to the one and only true living God who is his Father, and he was acceptable, and it only had to be paid once. You can't pay it. I can't pay it. All the good works in the world won't pay it because Jesus has already paid it. And when we accept Christ, we accept that payment. It covers us in his righteousness. Now we are now connected to the anchor that doesn't move. Nothing should shake you. Nothing should bind you. You should be a slave to nothing else. In fact, not even the fear of death has hold over you anymore. And that is how the gospel has gone forward from day one of the beginning of the spawning of the church, was through people who weren't afraid to die, who gave every part of their life to Christ. And in essence, they died to their old life to live this new life for Christ. And nobody can take that away from you. That's the anchor that we're talking about. Only Jesus could be that propitiation, and let me tell you, he has been. Verses 17 through 18. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. If you are tempted, go ahead and raise your hand. Because I'm going to tell you something. He has identified with our temptation. He received these temptations, but never sinned once. And even though we've been tempted and we have sinned, he never did. He paid the price, and for all who come to faith in him, we are set free. Isn't that awesome? Therefore, Jesus is our only anchor. Don't drift away from your only salvation. You get hooked onto him now through receiving him as your Lord and Savior, and he will never cast you away. He promised that. He said, if anyone comes to me, he will not cast them away. He will not turn them away. Have you been firmly established in Christ through faith? If you have, then I want you to know there is no storm can push you away. There's no storm that will make you drift away if you stay connected to him. Now, if you start dabbling in willful disobedience then, and you just refuse to follow Jesus, you can become like a prodigal for a time where you drift. Has anybody ever felt that? You don't have to raise your hand. It's all right. You can if you want. There were a couple that I know absolutely everybody's done, so that's why we raised our hands on those. And let's just face it, we all can find ourselves in areas of our lives where we begin to drift. As soon as God shows you, we need to repent and reconnect. Because you know what? Even as a believer, sometimes we can get pretty far out there if we're not careful. And praise God, he never lets go of us. Isn't it reassuring? He will draw us back. The question is, how much of a mess do I want to get in before I start listening again? I don't like being in a mess. I don't think you do either. So let's just make a commitment that we're going to stay close to Jesus. In fact, the Bible uses the word abide. Abide in him. He never moves. You know, he's not trying to take anything away from us, guys. He's trying to give us everything. He said, come to me, all you who are weary. You ever get tired? Heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, a yoke has two places. One that he's always in, and he wants us to get in the other. And then he'll help us pull the load. We don't have to try to do it ourselves. In fact, it's foolish to. You only go in circles. Let's go with Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that if there's anybody here that has an area of their life that they need to commit to you, or maybe their whole life, Lord, maybe there's some that have never received salvation and you're working in their heart right now. I just want them to know, it doesn't matter where we find ourselves, Lord, your word tells us that if we repent and turn back to you, you will receive us. Thank you, Lord. Repentance isn't just, I'm sorry and I'm going to keep doing what I want to do. Repentance is turning away from. We need to turn away from our sin and turn to you. Thank you, Lord, that you offer us opportunity. Thank you that this music team has come back up here to lead us in a final song of invitation. If there's anything anybody needs to pray about and they're feeling led to, Lord, I pray they won't be afraid. They won't be afraid to pray, maybe right where they're standing. They won't be afraid to come forward if that's what you're calling them to do. They won't be afraid to ask someone to pray with them if that's what you're putting on their heart. Lord, we can be fully delivered from that fear of death just by making sure that we understand the freedom we have in Christ. So help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.